Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Let us remain standing and open our Bibles to Mark chapter 10. And we'll read from verse 46. When they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of the people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still. And he commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, and rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. Excuse me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus in the way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we have read this simple story, Lord, from your scriptures. Seeing the faith of a blind man. But not only seeing his faith, O God, but seeing the desperation that came over him. He knew the man Jesus, the Son of God, could give him what he longed for his entire life. And so we find him in a situation that he didn't want Jesus to pass by. And so he cried out unto him, O Son of David, have mercy upon me. Father, your presence is here. We know that you've come down at this hour. And we cry out, O God, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While in others thou art falling, do not pass me by. Be with us, Lord, as we read from your scriptures and from the message of your prophet this evening. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to take this story that we just read from the scriptures to Brother Branham's message called Desperation. And we're going to read from paragraph 80 tonight, where Brother Branham said, blind Bartimaeus thought Jesus was going to pass him by. Sitting out there at the gate, blind, beggar for alms, and first thing you know, he heard a noise, and Jesus was passing by. And he said, who passes by? And somebody shoved him down. And he said, please, somebody, who's passing by? And one of them said, maybe a kind little disciple, woman, said to him, sir, don't you know who that is passing by? No, I hear someone say that there's a whole graveyard full of dead people up here. If you raise a dead, go raise them. Is it a blasphemer or somebody? No. Have you never heard of the prophet of Galilee, the young prophet called Jesus of Nazareth? No. Well, you know, in the Bible it said in our scrolls that the Son of David will be raised up to set on him. And that's him. Is that him? Is that him? And he passed. And he's passing by, and in desperation it drove him to scream, O Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Then Brother Ram sings that song that we know so well. He sings, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Let's all sing it together. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do
not pass me by. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's thou art calling, not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's of our calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee?
Let's all stand to our feet and sing this song.
Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another's thou art calling, do not pass me by.
And now, like blind Bartimaeus,
Savior, Savior, do not pass me by. While another's thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Maybe seated. Oh, Jesus, some of them said, shut up, you make too much noise. But he was desperate. Now listen, when you are desperate and you do not listen, no, when you're desperate, you don't listen to what other people tell you to try to deter you from what you're desperate over. As I was told, or have told you, the dream that I had of Brother Branham back in 2011, I was in his living room. It was so real. I described the living room, the kitchen, where the bedrooms were at, and everything else. Brother Vail told me, he said, that was exactly, I've never been in Brother Brown's house. He said, that's exactly the way it was on the inside. It was so real, the atmosphere was so real. And when I asked Brother Branham what the time of the resurrection would be like, he said, it will be like suicide. And I knew immediately what he meant by that. He was letting me know that it will be a time of desperation. And there will be no turning back, and no matter what anybody tries to tell you, you have your mind made up, and there is no looking back. Yeah. Doesn't matter if your loved ones make it or don't make it at that point. There's no turning back. Desperation. We're now entering into the most desperate times on earth for man, outside of before the flood. In 2 Timothy 3:1, we read, but understand this, that in the last days there will set in perilous times, times of great stress and trouble. It'll be hard to deal with,
it'll be hard to bear.
Now, we know that Brother Bram told us that it is the hybrid foods and the tensions that are rotting the bodies and the minds of the people. And when you look at the insanity of the world and see it has come to the, it has come according to Deuteronomy 28, because the nations have turned down the voice of God to this generation. We read in Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou shalt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God," and we know the voice of the Lord God has come down with a shout, which is a message. So if they do not hearken, and that means they do not pay attention to it, they might claim it. Oh, I believe the prophet. I believe God sent a prophet. I believe that there's a message. But if they don't hearken to it, if they don't pay attention to it, I do not care if you claim to believe God sent a prophet. If you do not pay attention to what he said, you will be cursed with a curse. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken, that means pay close attention to, under the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, to observe and to do. To observe to do. You see the pattern, you step into the pattern, you do. To observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. This means that you will not even see them coming until they have come upon you. And before you know it, they will overtake you. Now, let's read what those curses are. And I'm not going to go through all the curses tonight because we just don't have time. I mean, I started off putting together and I would have had about 30 pages tonight going into the details and showing you the details of what they are. Well, you can read it for yourself. And don't just read it, but when you see the words that are in there, we're going to give you a few hints tonight by looking at a few things. When you look at the words that are in there, study them. Go to the dictionary. Find out what they are. Do a Google. Find out what's happening with that thing. That thing is a curse. What is it? What's happening today? And you're going to find it's everywhere. God's curse will be in the city. And God's curse will be in the country. God's curse will be on your basket, that's your ability to store, and your bread bowl, that's the food which is on your table. God's curse is on your table. GMO foods. God's curse will be upon your children, upon the crops of your land, upon the young of your livestock, upon the calves of your herds, upon the lambs of your flocks. In other words, their entire source of income will be cursed. God's curse will be upon your coming in and your going out. In other words, everywhere you turn, there will be no way to escape the curse, because you have turned down the only way to escape that curse, which is the voice of the Lord your God taking heed to it. The curse of God will be upon every nation. The curse of God will be upon every city. Everywhere in the country, because you won't be able to flee anywhere to escape the curse which is coming upon the entire earth. Why? Because the next verse tells us that the very creator of all things will send the curse. Verse 20. God will send the curse and confusion. Now, the word confusion is defined as a disorder, upheaval, tumult, chaos. Notice, disorder. We see it every day. Upheaval, every day. Every day the government is in your face, turning things upside down, calling righteous things wicked and calling wicked things righteous. Tumult and chaos. All I have to do is look at the elections this year. All the chaos, all the rioting, all the tumult. Because it's everywhere, people won't know which way to turn. There are no governments which are looking out for the people. The elites who run all governments, they've sold out to Satan and are causing the confusion by their economic policies and immigration policies, and their policies which have turned aside borders
until the people have no way to turn. Brother Ram said in a sermon, World Falling Apart, he said, every government in the world is controlled by the devil. That's the United States as well. Every system, every, and Jesus said so. Satan admitted, these are all mine. I do with them whatever I want to. Where are we at then? Look where we're standing. We all know, Brother Ram preached Satan's Eden. We all know that we're in Satan's Eden. And again, he said, in God's gifts always find their place. He said, see, the whole creation was lost and everything else was gone. It all belonged to Satan. He fell heir to it and he still owns it. He certainly does. That's the reason we're fighting and having all this troubles. He controls every kingdom. Satan does. Every government, every king, every kingdom controlled by Satan. All you have to do is watch the way men will go. They have maybe a righteous heart, and they want to do something for the country and for God, and they go to Washington, and after a few months, they're just as corrupt as the people that were there before. The whole world is controlled and run by Satan. That's the reason we have the troubles that we have. Any Bible student or anything can tell you that. Satan. Well, the Bible itself says this, that he controls the world. But Christ will fall heir to it, for now he is our Redeemer. And he come to redeem the whole creation, and nothing could do it but God himself. And so God has come down with a shout. Let me just say this. The world is in a very bleak condition. The world is falling apart. This is Satan's Eden, and Satan has a preeminence in the education system, in the politics, in the churches, in the business and economies. Satan has it all. And he's gloating. You can't watch anything on that boob tube without seeing the goat, which is Satan's symbol, being pushed by the elites. Many of the people that have made it into the so-called rock and roll hall of fame, not only rock and roll, but all industry, Hollywood, everything else, they're now testifying that they made a pact with Satan. You look at them when they come in, they might have been a young darling, nice looking kid, nice looking little girl. Maybe she had a nice voice. And watch her 2 years into her career. She looks like a harlot. She dresses like she's insane. Why? Because they've made their pact with Satan. Satan said, I own it all. I'll give it to you if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, he never said to him, no, you don't own it all. I own it all. No, Jesus knew that he would inherit it, but that Satan had control right then. But nevertheless, Jesus said, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Amen. Well, questions and answers, Brother Ram said, how many people here understand that the devil controls every nation under heaven? The devil controls the United States. The devil is government of the United States. The devil is the government of Germany. I got news for you people. The devil is the government of Poland as well. Ireland. No matter where your background's from, India, the devil runs it all. There is no place to escape the insanity that's coming on this world. Because it's not just America. They've got the LGBT movement all over. It's global because you've got a bunch of global perverts who have turned their souls over to the devil. And that's part of his requirement. Make everything so perverse, so anti-God, so anti-word. And Satan is gloating. Don't let him gloat, because he's a goat that gloats. And he's on his way to destruction. He just has a very short while left. God is still in control. The brother asked, how many understand the devil controls every nation under heaven? The devil controls the United States. The devil controls the government of the United States. The devil is the government of Germany. He's the government of every nation under the heaven.
The devil controls every nation. The Bible says he does. Read Matthew, the fourth chapter. When Satan took Jesus up to the top of the mountain, he showed him the kingdoms of the world and claimed them to be his. And he said, I'll give them to you if you'll worship me. And Jesus never said, you lied, Satan. He knew they belonged to him. But over the book of Revelation said, rejoice, you heavens and you earth, for the kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. And he shall reign on earth. Jesus knew that in the millennium, that all the governments and kingdoms will be broke down, and he'll be God and ruler over all of them. He knew he fell heir to all of it, so therefore he told Satan, get thee behind me, Satan, for he knew what he had to do. If they came in the store today, or when they were in worship, and came in to grab you and say, we're going to round you up, unless you deny this Bible, you deny your faith, do you have enough God in you to do it? Do you have enough God in you to stand like Jesus right in their face and do it? It's going to come to that. Notice, Brother Anderson, they're going to shut down the churches like this. Notice the scripture teaches us in verse 20, Deuteronomy 20, 28 and 20. God himself will send the curse and the confusion. Remember, he tells us in the scripture, because they turn down the word, God sends them over to a strong delusion. And the strong delusion brings upon the confusion. Now, the word confusion, it means disorder. It means upheaval. It means tumult and chaos. And then he says, God will send the curse, God will send the confusion, and God will send the contrariness. Now, the word contrariness means opposite in nature or character, diametrically or mutually opposed. That's all this LGBT and Sodom rights. And everything that is good is considered evil by the governments. And everything that is evil in God's eyes is considered good in the government's eyes, because Satan runs all governments. And so all this contrariness is prophesied by God as part of the curse, because the entire world has sold out to Satan. It is now his kingdom on earth. Number 20 again. God will send the curse and the confusion, and the contrariness will come down on everything that you try to do. Until you've been destroyed and there's nothing left for you. All because of your evil pursuits that led you to abandon me. Now, he's not talking to you and I here, because we hearken to the voice of the Lord our God to do all his commandments. This is speaking to those people who say, I don't have time. I don't want to study the Word. Why should I take time to study the Word? Oh, I don't have time to listen to tapes. I Love Susie's on. Or whatever. This is not for those who sigh and cry for the abomination done in the city. This is not for those who are born again by the Spirit of God, who are filled with His Spirit and their lives have been changed by the power, the resurrection power of His Word, His life. This is for them that have heard but have not hearkened. God will infect you, he says, with a disease, wiping you off the land that you're going in to possess. In other words, the land to possess in our day will be the millennium. And before God brings forth the millennium, he's got to cleanse this world. All the peoples of the earth will be wiped out, because only those who hearken and paid attention to the voice of the Lord their God will be allowed to enter in. Now, I'd like to just skip down to verse 28. He said, the Lord shall smite thee with insanity and blindness. That's Laodicea. People are naked. Their dress is just filthy. They're naked, miserable. But think, because they got credit, and they don't realize that that's not credit, it's actually debit.
They think they've got credit because they've got a credit card or they've got a credit account. And it's not credit, brother and sister. If it was credit, you'd have the money in the bank to pay for whatever you want to get. That's credit. It's called debit, but they change words to make you think you've got credit. It's not credit. It's putting yourself in bondage to someone. The Bible says that the lender is servant. The borrower is servant to the lender. Now, the Lord shall smite thee with insanity. The King James Version says with madness. And with blindness, because you can't distinguish right from wrong. You can look right at things and call it the wrong thing because you're blind. And astonishment of heart. What's that? Notice we are promised that the whole world, all those who do not pay attention and take heed to and hearken to the voice of the Lord God, will go insane after a while. Brother Branham said from Invisible Union, he said, but now look what Hollywood has took the virtuous things from our women. I'm sitting here looking at a dear old sister, Sister Schrader, many of the women here, and that, and Sister Moore over here, the older women that remembered a few years ago, if their mother or even them would have walked out on the street the same way some of these women walk today, church members, they'd have looked the woman up. They would have locked the women up for being insane. I remember when I was teaching ninth grade, and we had these films that we show the kids of the history of the United States, and it was Walter Cronkite, and it was "You Are There," and they showed a woman walking out in the 1920s, the Roaring Twenties, but because her thighs were shown, her knees showed, her dress was above her knees. They locked her up, they came, they grabbed her, they threw her into a paddy wagon and hauled her off to the insane asylum. I had that on film. I wish I would have had a dataphone back then. I would have copied it so you all could see it. If they were insane then, they're insane today. He said, I'm looking at you older sisters and you know. And I would say that anybody in here that's over the age of 30 can look back 20 years ago and see a big change from then. Well, if you're my age, you're Don's or Steve's, or Michael's, you can look back 40 years ago and you can see things have really, really changed. For the worse. So Brother Brown said, she forgot to put her skirt on. Well, if it was insane then, it's insane now. Now, well, look. The whole world proves it's insane. Go to the mall, Kenwood Mall, any mall. You see these people walk in the mall from the inner city? They've got their britches down below their buttocks, so their underpants will show. Let me tell you, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, that man would be arrested for indecent exposure. Today they let him get by with it. In fact, you're the crazy one because you actually dress proper. The whole world proves it's insane. Look at the murders and things that's going on now in the world. See? Insanity. The whole thing is coming to fulfill revelations. We may get to it this week, one of those hideous things. Them's not natural. That's spiritual things that makes people scream to the rocks and the mountains and everything else to fall on them. Remember Brother Brandon warned us, he said, that the Hollywood and these things are and comic books and these things are getting the kids' minds primed for the great deception. Well, I was listening to a couple scientists the other day talking, and they were actually talking, and Brother Don remembers hearing this from a guy from the CIA was talking 4 years ago, Don, I think we come across it, where the guy said that they actually were observing the planet X coming. And it's a great iron. It's made of iron, and that's why it looks red. And in all the ancient history books, they show it has wings because that's the dust coming off. And he said, what people don't understand is that the frequencies of that solar system that is coming through are so different from our own solar system. That this guy that Don and I heard, he said, the whole world's going to go insane. He said, and they'll
water their britches while they're looking at this thing and saying, what's that? I heard these scientists just this past week. They said that the frequencies are so different that people will actually be seeing, like in a dream, and yet thinking it's reality. And they won't be able to tell the difference between a dream and reality because of the frequencies. Well, Brother Branson, back then, it was the food that we're eating, breaking down the bodies until the tension comes on and sets off neurosis. Now we've got on top of that, we've got things externally. From communion, Brother Branson, now there's one thing that I want to say just before we start the communion is this. That I believe that we have seen enough in our day that we live in that we ought to really give everything, all of our being to God. We should really serve God. I believe that He has blessed us with the direct answer to the Scripture. As Brother Perry Green gave it a few moments ago, that we're at that time, that we're not blind. We see that we're here, that we've arrived. We also can look around and see that the way that the human mind is leaving the people, this is 1965 going into 66, 50 years ago. The human mind is leaving the people, and we've seen it leave. As I said, anybody going back, I remember 65. I was 12 years old. I remember very sane. People were very sane. Not today. That we can't stay too much longer. We'd be in complete insane institutions. The whole world would be. See? So we're at the end time. Now you might have seen back 40 years ago, 50 years ago, someone in an insane asylum with their pants down below their buttocks, showing off their underpants. You might have seen that in an insane asylum, but today it's everywhere on the street. The world is insane. And it's hard to deal with and hard to bear. When Christ identified the same, He said, in another, if the world would stand another 50 years, well, it has, the whole world would be totally insane. And that's about right on time with what He said. Look at the sanity from 40, from 20 years ago to this time, see? Now we read in 28, the Lord shall smite thee with insanity. You see the curses upon America? You see the curses upon Germany, upon England, it's upon the entire world. With insanity and blindness and astonishment of heart. Now this word astonishment means consternation, which is defined as a sudden alarming amazement or dread that results in utter confusion. And that confusion is due to total insanity that's coming upon the earth. The Muslims are invading these nations. And our politicians are worried about which bathroom you're going to use. Isn't that a little bit insane? No wonder he warns us in 2 Timothy 3 and 1. But understand this, that in the last days there will set in perilous times of great stress and trouble. Hard to deal with, hard to bear. From his message, who do you say this is, Brother Branson? Look at the world today. What a tension the whole world lives in. You go down the street, it's not even safe to drive. It's not safe to be on a four-lane highway. Everybody's at attention, snapping. And what's the matter? Quieten down. Where are you going? That's what's making the insane institutions fill up. That's what's got the church in such a turmoil. They're so headbound on certain things. They won't stop and consider God's word and the hour that we're living, all under a strain and tension. And we know what tension does. Tension is the thing that sets off the imbalance in your hormones, the imbalance in your DNA, the imbalance in your biophysical. Now, those are the conditions of the curse in the body, within society itself, But added to them, there will be conditions of the curse that will be atmospheric in nature. He says in verse 23, the sky over your head will become like brass. Now the Hebrew word used here for brass is neshotheth, which figuratively means brazen or filthiness. The sky over your head will be brazen. The sky over your head will be filthiness. Which sounds like air pollution. And chemtrails, which use heavy metals like barium. You know, barium is often used in barium nickel alloys for spark plug electrodes in a vacuum tubes as drying and oxygen removing agent. Well, if barium is an oxygen removing agent and they're putting it into the atmosphere, then it's removing the oxygen in the earth. Why do you think you have trouble breathing? Why do you think you have trouble with allergies? It is released into the atmosphere by oil drilling, and because of the extensive use of barium in the industries, human activities add greatly to the release of barium in the environment. As a result, barium concentrations in air, water, and soil may be higher than naturally occurring concentrations on many locations. Barium enters the air during mining processes, refining processes, and during the production of barium compounds. It can also enter the air during coal and oil combustion. Now notice that barium is used to eliminate oxygen, and that's interesting because that might explain the reduction in oxygen levels in our atmosphere. From the Center of Global Research, the website is globalresearch.org, we are told for more than a decade, first the United States and then Canada citizens have been subjected to 24/7, 365 day a year aerosol assault over our heads, made of toxic brew of poisonous heavy metals, chemicals, and other dangerous ingredients. None of this was reported by any mainstream media. The U.S. Department of Defense, the DOD, and military have been systematically blanketing all of our skies with what are known as chemtrails, also known as stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. These differ vastly from the usual plane contrails that evaporate rather quickly into the sky. Chemtrails do not dissipate. Rather, planes fitted with special nozzles release aerosol lines in the sky that do not evaporate. Multiple planes are deployed, flying parallel or often checkerboard patterns overhead. And soon the sky is blanketed with many grayish-white lines, miles and miles long, although it is changing. At first, these lines are thin, but soon they expand and in short time merge together. Our once blue sky has vanished and has been replaced by a grayish-white toxic haze that blocks out and greatly diminishes our usual sunshine. Over the past decade, independent testing of chemtrails around the country has shown a dangerous, extremely poisonous brew that includes barium, which we've already discussed, and nano aluminum coated fiberglass known as chaff. What's interesting is our soldiers are wearing aluminum coated fiberglass in their equipment, and they're finding it's causing a lot of mental issues, brain issues. Also, there's radioactive thorium. Thorium and uranium do not belong in the human body and cause cancer if they are breathed in or ingested when mining, processing, and dealing with nuclear waste, dust, and gases are generated, as well as liquid waste. There is very little difference between heavy metals when it comes to being poisonous. Now, add on the hazards of internal radiation and cadmium and chromium and nickel and desiccated blood and mold spores and yellow fungal mycotoxins, ethylene dibromide, and polymer fibers. This is from samplings taken from the chemtrails themselves. Cadmium, chromium, nickel, desiccated blood, mold spores, yellow fungal, etc. Barium, then, says, cannot be... barium can be compared to the toxicity of arsenic. Barium is known to adversely affect the heart. Aluminum has a history of damaging brain function. Independent researchers and labs continue to show off the scale levels of these poisons. A few anonymous officials have acknowledged this ongoing aerosol spray. No wonder the frequency that you were born under, the frequency of the earth, which your body is natural to, is being changed because of what's in the air. And we're being bombarded with frequencies, and that's why people have strange dreams. They have weird stuff take place. You find people seeing things, and they're actually think they're zombies, and they actually think that they see all these things, and it's their imaginations. As Brother Brown said, they're getting them ready for the blast. So Satan's Eden is controlled by the governments of the world, and as a result, the very air that we breathe and the water we drink is so filled with contaminants that Jesus warned us in Mark 13 verse 20. He said, "And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened those days." Why do we see cancer everywhere? It's the air you're breathing. It's the water you're drinking. It's the food, the GMO food, that they've laced with all kinds of things that shouldn't be in there. And as I said, I heard a couple scientists talking the other day about this aluminum and metals in the atmosphere, that the frequencies that we live by are being changed until people will not know whether they're dreaming or actually living what they see. And they also said, as the magnetic field of the solar system that will be passing through our solar system comes closer, the insanity will be 100%. As one CIA analyst said, you would need a lead helmet over your head to keep from going insane. But we see Brother Brown warn us of the end time insanity, and we only have to look around us at what is taking place in the world to know that mankind cannot continue another generation with the mental degeneracy that is happening as fast as it is happening today. I was in a store today called Rural King, just a local, farmer type. Woman comes in, she got a Harley Davidson jacket on, she got her hair skinned to the side, and just long on top and in a ponytail. Why in the world would somebody do something that stupid? And they look retarded. Not retarded, I apologize to retards. They look insane. Devil-possessed. And if we add to the daily poisoning of our bodies and our brains by the air and water condition and the GMO foods that we eat, all it will take to set off the insanity is tension and stress, and we see the undoing of the human race right before us. And you know what? Since 9/11, they've ramped up the intensity. They've ramped up the tension. They've ramped up the stress till people don't feel safe even going to the mall today or going to shop anywhere. And you notice that the Amplified Translation of 2 Timothy 3 and 1 tells us these times of great tension and stress will be hard to deal with and hard to bear. Therefore, we're moving into a time when desperation is becoming the norm. When we see what is happening in the economy and in the political chaos and the government spying and the loss of civil liberties, then we ask ourselves, what have we got to look forward to except for God to extricate us from what is coming down the pike? Your prayer every day should be, Lord Jesus, come quickly. I can hardly take another day of what's here. God warned us this would happen. In Isaiah 24 and 1, he said, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty." The word empty means depopulated. "He maketh it waste." That means ruined, desolate. "And he turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest." In other words, it's going to be the same with the servant, so with his master, with the maid, so with the mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury. It's going to be the same for everybody, for the elites as well as for the common people. No one's going to escape it. "The land shall be utterly empty," that means depopulated, "and utterly spoiled," that means polluted. "For the Lord God has spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth." As Brother Brown said, the world is falling apart. "The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled," that means polluted, "under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws. They've changed the ordinances. They've broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth.
and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men are left. Again, we see in Malachi 4 and 5, Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I should come and smite the earth with a curse. In other words, God was going to curse it, but he sent grace first. He sent mercy first, he sent Malachi 4. He sent the spirit of Elijah. So we see that God promised that he would have to come and destroy the earth with a curse. But he also said, before I do it, I will send mercy, and I will send the spirit of Elijah back to the earth with a message of mercy and to get my chosen people out before the destruction comes. And we find Jesus in Matthew 24, in verse 22, telling us, And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, for those who were chosen in him before the foundations of the world's sake, those days shall be shortened. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Amen.
So we see there came a message, and it was to make a ready people, to make ready a prepared people for the Lord, as he promised in his word. Now, I'd like to go back to Brother Bram's desperation message, pick up paragraph 81. And he said, if he got by, he might never have had another opportunity. He's talking about Bartimaeus. We might not either. Because you know what? He's come down. He's here. This is your opportunity. This might be the last night, he said. Desperation, he screamed out, Oh, Jesus. No matter who told him to stop, he cried just the same, that much louder. When they told him to shut up, like they did in the schools, you can't take your Bible in the school. You can't pray in the schools. You can't do this in schools. You can't talk about Jesus in your prayer before the dedication. My daughter, Christina, did it anyway. They told her, you can pray, but don't mention the name Jesus. I told her, you don't have to accept what they tell you to do. Let everybody know that you stand with Jesus, and she did. God's blessed her for it. In desperation, cried out to Jesus, no matter who told him to stop, he cried just the same, that much the louder. When they told him to shut up, it made him get louder. He was desperate. Nobody could stop him. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And he screamed in desperation. And the Son of God, with the sins of the world upon his shoulders, going to Jerusalem to be offered up right then for a sacrifice for the world, he stopped in his tracks. Now listen, do we have any blind Bartimaeuses in here tonight? Can you cry out to him and catch him before he leaves? Desperation, a despairing cry, stopped the Son of God. He said, What would you have me to do? Oh, he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He said, Go your way, your faith saves you. That was enough. Desperation. When desperation is to receive something, the faintest little touch, faith grabs it. See, he didn't say now, wait a minute, hold that there just a minute. Let me see that if I can see now. I never did see my hands for many years. Let's see if I can see it. I don't see nothing yet. When Jesus said, Thy faith has saved thee, that was enough. That's all he wanted. Desperation calls for a subject. And when the subject, no matter how faint it is received, it's believed right then because faith catches when desperation is pushing it. See, love in there mixes with it and brings it to it. Desperation does it. Blind Bartimaeus caught the vision quickly. And then he says, Peter, he was all steamed up one night on the sea. When he got in desperation, he began to cry out. There's something wrong. I can see your spirit coming, walking to me. The ship was about to go down. He said, If it be you, Lord, bid me to come to you on the water. And he stepped down out of the ship and he started and he got scared. And when he got scared, he started to sink, and in desperation, though a mistake in trying to follow the commandments of God, I hope the church gets that, the man was doing what God told him to do. Now, you Christians tonight, you're in the line of duty, trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and a cancer grabs you, or death grabs you, or cancer, or tubercular, whatever it is, in the line of duty, you have the same right that Peter had, Lord, save me, or I'll perish.
In desperation, he called out, and the hand reached him and picked him up. And you have the same thing. But he screamed out, "Save me, Lord!" He heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. That's it. When you cry, love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Maybe this woman, or this mother, whatever it was to her little son or grandson or nephew, whatever it was, he cried out in despair, and God heard. Then we find out that in the sinking, God heard him. In the line of duty, he started to sink. He failed. No matter if you fail, that don't have nothing to do with it. We all fail. We're a failure to begin with. But we got somebody standing now with a strong hand who can reach us and take us above the water. And if you made a mistake, some woman made a mistake, some man made a mistake, some boy, girl made a mistake, don't sink. Scream out in despair, "Lord, save me or I'll perish." Get desperate about it and God will hear you. He always hears a desperate soul. That's what I'm trying to tell you. His power has in prayer. Gracious Father, we see the day and hour in which we live. We see that this is the hour of your visitation. You're getting ready and you're pulling back your spirit. We can feel it, Lord. You're getting ready to go. And Father, we just cry out, "Don't leave me, Lord. Take me," because you promised that wherever you would be, you would be in our midst. Help us, O God, to walk with you in the light as you are in the light, that we might, like Enoch, walk up and be with you always. For we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Can I have the deacons, Brother Steve, would you assist Brother John? And with the elements, and then Brother Josh, if you could get the...
Let's just turn in our Bibles to John chapter 13.
We'll read our verse of scripture for the communion.